You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
And I say, hey, what a wonderful kind of day. If you could learn to work and play and get along with each other.
Welcome everybody to Wednesday War Games, episode 23. My name is Garrett Kidney. I introduced myself this week because I'm all by my lonesome. I have no co-host. Liam continues to be homeless. If you perchance have a rental property in Melbourne, please, Liam will give you money for it. He doesn't want charity. He just wants to give somebody money for a place to live. It's a sad state of affairs, but until then, you just got me. Not even Rob this week, because I assume NXT broke him. I didn't actually ask. I could not possibly put him through it. 2 weeks in a row after last week, categorically broke the poor man. Poor Rob. This is what you get for watching NXT, or this is what you get for me asking you to watch NXT and then you doing me a favor by, in fact, watching NXT. So it's just me here on my own. I'll probably try to keep this relatively short, because who wants to listen to me for an hour? Frankly, not even I want to listen to me for an hour. So we'll blitz through these shows, and you can have my esteemed takes on these episodes of All Elite Wrestling Dynamite and WWE NXT. Last week, AEW won pretty comprehensively. This week, we will kick off with All Elite Wrestling, which kicked off with Hangman Page being mean to the Young Bucks. I continue to enjoy, like, Hangman Page is a jerk in, like, on, like, every level. He's a mean person who's mean to the nice guy Young Bucks, but he's a cool guy. He's justified in his jerkdom. That makes sense, doesn't it? Those are words. Before we opened AEW with Cody versus Ortiz, which was a good, solid, fun match. I think better than some of the recent Cody affairs. I thought it was better than the MJF match at Revolution, frankly. A good, you know, those pardon the puns, smoke and mirrors Cody matches that you're well used to at this stage. But they're always very fun, and Ortiz is really good. Ortiz's hair. That man's hair is, like, frankly, extraordinarily impressive. It's, like, so wide. You're used to seeing fros, but not one, like, that consumes his head in a way that's extraordinarily impressive. And really, I admire every week. He could hide weapons. Someone mentioned that he could hide weapons in his hair. He should hide weapons in his hair. He could hide multiple weapons in his hair. Jake the Snake Roberts entered through the crowd and brought his big agent, the person that he's managing, is Lance Archer. I really don't know why they didn't reveal that last week. Because why not? If your big reveal is him just walking out through the crowd with the guy who's his client, why not just do that last week? Why not have Archer attack him, or have Jake Roberts do a big introduction for Lance Archer? And then you also don't false advertise Lance Archer like they did last week. So they tick both of those boxes of a better introduction and avoiding false advertisement, which I think is an admirable thing most people should do. But yes, they came through the crowd. Jake Roberts is a large man. Lance Archer is an even larger man. So they fit together in that regard, I guess. Through the match, they were watching attentively. And at one stage, Archer feigned to jump the rail, but he didn't. So they're holding back on physicality between Cody and Archer. But Cody and Archer is a program, I assume, after Blood and Guts. if any of that still happens in this era of COVID-19 and shows being cancelled. We'll find out what happens to AEW in the coming weeks, because I can only imagine that some of those shows will be cancelled, and whether or not they'll try and set up some kind of weird alternative, some kind of empty arena shows, who knows? But for now, we're still in the dark. None of the shows are not officially cancelled as of me speaking into this microphone right now. We have Cody defeated Ortiz in a good fun match. After the match, I'll get the way they do attacks. It's way too often in the closing angle, because they do it over and over again, and you're kind of sick of seeing the same angle over and over again. But the Santana attacks, he's run off by Matt Jackson and Kenny Omega, but not Nick Jackson. Where's Nick Jackson, you ask? He's backstage after being attacked by the Elite. They have slammed his head in one of those door things, those metal doors that I'm sure have more specific names than metal doors, like cargo doors. You know the ones. His head is bleeding. He's laid out on the floor. Good chance Nick Jackson has been murdered. It looked very gruesome. It wasn't just like your standard wrestling. He's lying on the floor and they tell you attack them. They suggested that they did, in fact, slam his head in a cargo door, which I'm pretty sure would probably kill somebody if you actually did it. If you actually crushed somebody's skull with a cargo door, it would hurt a lot and you would probably die. Also, Jericho called the Elite Pumpkinhead dipshits, which is a very good insult, a very Chris Jericho insult. Chris Jericho is a walking meme in the best way. The man can turn literally anything into a meme, and it is delightful. Nyla Rose and the returning Bea Priestley defeated Chris Statlander and Hikaru Shida after the match. It was a good match, actually, a fun little tag team match in the women's division. After the match, Bea Priestley turned on her partner, laid out Nyla Rose, posed with the women's title belt, and there is, I guess, your first program coming out of Revolution is Bea Priestley returning and facing Nyla Rose. I assume she'll win a few more matches before she actually gets a title shot, so that they justify it in their rankings. But that's a fun, fresh match, and it's nice to have some new fresh blood, even if it's like she hasn't appeared, I think, since November. It's relatively fresh blood in the women's division. And yeah, match was solid. Daniels did a spoof of the Dark Order infomercials, which is very good. Chris Daniels is, I think, like a historically underrated promo. If you go back to his like 2005 stuff when he was X Division champion, that man can talk, and that man can talk real well. And he's probably one of those people that people would have beaten with the stick of, oh, he doesn't have personality. And he really totally does. Chris Daniels is great. So he has challenged Uno and Grayson to singles matches. He doesn't care when or where, but he will face them in singles matches. They will finally, apparently, they've announced this later in the show, they will reveal the Exalted One next week, which I'm saying about time. I said if they didn't reveal it on this episode of Dynamite, I'd lose interest. They announced they'd reveal it on this episode of Dynamite, so they won me on a technicality. But if they don't announce it next week, I don't care anymore. You've dragged the Exalted One out far too long, and I lose interest. But we'll see. Hopefully they will in fact actually announce the Exalted One next week. Otherwise, I'm bored, and I'm moving on. MJF, The Butcher, and The Blade defeated Jurassic Express in a really, really fun, one of two really, really fun six-man tag matches on the show. Like, there's so many trios in this company because Death Triangle defeated the team of Private Party and Joey Janela. I'll talk about these matches in twos because there's really not much to say about them other than they were really good matches and Death Triangle looked good and MJF won, I guess. I think the actual finish of the match wasn't great. It felt a little bit flat, but the match itself, full of action, really great match. MJF, I assume, is building toward a Moxley program. I don't know. He mentioned moving on to a title challenge last week. I do think they'll come back to Cody, but Cody is busy with Lance Archer for a while and still with the Elite and Inner Circle feud. So MJF beat Marco Stunt with the Salt of the Earth, immediately submitted him with his little armbar deal. There's a lot of like really good solid matches on this show. This was an enjoyable show full of good solid wrestling matches. Like Cody and nothing great, but Cody and Ortiz, both six-man tag matches, the main event was all right, and the women's match was good, but yeah, a lot of good solid wrestling. This was a very wrestling heavy show, but I think what angles were there were good angles. The Nick Jackson attack, a couple of promos later and show, the Daniels Dark Order spoof, all very good little interludes that push these stories along. A tad less good, Britt Baker and Swole are now feuding over their respective husbands who work in another company. Which is like, all right, I'd rather not these women be defined by who they're married to, but sure, if that's going to be the basis of their program. But yeah, Baker was doing a Tony promo, she was interrupted by Swole. Baker tossed coffee on her and ran away. So that's your build to Swole and Britt Baker sometime soon. We had the Death Triangle against Georgia Nell in Private Party match. I think this is like the best role for Georgia Nell in Private Party. Just undercard, not quite jobbers, but guys to just have good matches with people you're actually pushing. Because I don't think any of them are really ready to be pushed by themselves yet. But this is a nice way to get them on the show, get them doing good things on the show without actually like totally getting behind them quite yet. Because Private Party had that really good match with the Young Bucks and then kind of slid into obscurity. And I think for relatively good reason, because as good as they are in certain environments, there are environments in which they are a tad less good. So this kind of role where they're there to, like, they're wrestling Pac, Pentagon, and Phoenix. If you can't have a good match with those three human beings, you should retire. Like, legitimately. If you're in a match with Pac, Pentagon, and Phoenix, and you cannot have a good match with them, there is no hope for you in pro wrestling. And they had a good match with them. They had a really good match with them. And Pac is the best wrestler in the world, probably, and Pentagon Phoenix are the best tag team in the world, probably. They won one of those tag team awards the other week, and obviously the Wrestling Observer Awards. So they were voted comprehensively the best tag team in the world last year. So yeah, if you can't have a good match with them, but they did, so what am I talking about? Joey Janela and Private Party, this is why I need a co-host. I just end up saying things without actually saying anything of substance or anything of meaning, because there's not a lot of depth to some of these. Like, these 2 6-man tags are both like, we want MJF to win a match, he has partners, we want Death Triangle to win a match. And like that's the function of these, just to give these new units matches. As I said, they need trios titles. They have enough trios. They have a really good trios division. They can throw in elite trios. They can throw in inner circle trios. I can only imagine, because between Best Friends, Death Triangle, Joy Nidal and Private Party, MJF, Butcher and the Blade, Jurassic Express, Elite Inner Circle, Strong Hearts, if they still exist, there's a bunch of great trios in this company. There's more than enough room for trios belts. In fact, I think they are necessary to get a lot of these people on the show doing something of import rather than having matches where you're just establishing that they're trios. Speaking of setting up feuds with trios, Death Triangle attacked after the match and Best Friends and Orange Cassidy made the save, setting up Best Friends against the Lucha Bros next week on Dynamite. So that's pretty solid. The show running angle was who's going to team with Hangman Page. So the opening video on the show was Hangman Page blowing off the Young Bucks, and who's going to team with them? Dustin Rhodes just volunteered and he's going to team with them. Sure. They shouldn't do mystery partners if it's just going to be Dustin Rhodes, you know? That's Liam. That's a Liam take as well. Liam was DMing me. He was very upset that it was just Dustin Rhodes. Just announce it being Dustin Rhodes. Don't be like, Kenny can't compete. Hangman has to find a partner. And it's just Dustin. It's one of the less interesting potential people he could have picked as well. Like, I was hoping that he would in fact pick a Jackson, and then Matt Jackson or Nick Jackson would lose the fall, and then he'd get really mad at them, and that would set up a tag title match next week where Kenny comes back and they win, thus proving that Kenny Omega is better than the Jacksons, creating dissension between the Young Bucks. I'm booking the story now. Come on, give me the pencil, Tony. Come on. Sean Spears is looking for a partner. There are a bunch of applicants, including some well-known indie names, but who knows who will team with Sean Spears in the end. The rules for Blood and Guts are, it's a War Games match. That's it. It's a War Games match. It's not even any difference. It's just War Games. Next week, assuming there is an AEW Dynamite next week, Lucha Bros versus Best Friends, these are all the ones revealed, plus the Elite versus Inner Circle in the Trios match to gain the man advantage in Blood and Guts. Jo interviewed John Moxley. He's mad, but he's going to come back and he's going to attack the Inner Circle, and the Inner Circle are distracted by the Elite, and that's why they should be afraid, because while they're distracted, he's still waiting in the wings to attack them from what he called their blind spot. Good John Moxley promos, John Moxley. That brings us to our main event, in which Hangman Page and Dustin Rhodes defeated Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara, and then it was a good match. It was a perfectly fine match. Nothing you'll remember ever in the rest of your life. And then the post-match angle was the same post-match angle they've run like 15 or 16 times on Dynamite at this stage. It's just everyone runs in, there's a big brawl, someone else runs in, it runs wild, gets cut off, someone else runs in, runs wild, gets cut off. There's a big brawl between the Elite and the Inner Circle before the Inner Circle stand tall. I get they're building toward War Games or Blood and Guts. I get they're building toward a big team versus team match, but could they perhaps a little more interestingly set up these brawls than the exact same kind of layout of running cut off, running cut off, running cut off brawl, big moment, one team stands tall? And they've done this multiple times. Like, they did it a ton towards the start of Dynamite when, like, the Elite and Inner Circle feud was in theory at its peak, though I suppose it should be at its peak leading into Blood and Guts. But yeah, I'm sick of seeing it. It's the same brawl every time. do something a little more interesting. I don't know. That's Dynamite. A good episode of Dynamite. A good, solid build in stories, good promos from Mox, good promos from Daniels. It's nothing like special go out of your way to see, but the Cody and Ortiz and the 2 6-man tags were really good, and all the stories they set up more or less made sense. And yeah, it's just one of those good, solid, easy to watch 2 hours of television that it won't change your life, but you certainly won't feel like you've wasted your time watching the whole 2 hours, because pretty much nothing on the show was bad. I didn't like the Swollen Britt Baker promo, but other than that, I think pretty much nothing on the show was bad.
Wow, Garrett, that was a really, really good point. And I'm sure we'll come back for some of your great takes. That's right, it's me, Liam. You may know me from such shows as the Wednesday War Games, and... yep. And you may be wondering, Liam, why are you here? Aren't you homeless or whatever? Yeah, that's right, I am. But I've come back with some very important information, and that's about GetRoman.com/VOW. Americans have to wait around 29 days to see a doctor in a major US city, and if you're dealing with a condition like erectile dysfunction, you want treatment ASAP, and you want it quick, you want it effective, and you want it... you don't want to be going to no doctors, not in this day and age. It's all very confronting experience at the moment. So that's why our friends at Roman have spent years building a digital platform that can connect you with a doctor licensed in your state, all from the comfort of home. Roman makes it convenient to get treatment you need ASAP and on your schedule. Just grab your phone, your computer, your tablet, whatever you need. Complete a free online visit, and you'll hear back from a US licensed physician within 24 hours. And if a doctor decides that treatment is right for you, Roman's Pharmacy can ship your medication to you with free 2-day shipping. You also get free unlimited follow-ups from your doctor anytime you have questions or want to adjust your treatment plan. With Roman, there are no commitments, and you can cancel anytime. So if you're struggling with the ED, go to GetRoman.com/VOW for a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/VOW for a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. Now let's go back to Garrett with his hot NXT takes. Take it away, Gurr.
Thank you for that wonderful ad read, Liam, which takes us in to WWE NXT, which opened with Keith Lee against Cameron Grimes. It was a good match. I actually enjoyed this match a decent amount. I thought Grimes was really, really good in this match, though the hashtag was NXT NA title, so it had TNA in the hashtag, and it was very upsetting for me. I couldn't unsee it. And also Trevor Lee was in the match, so Trevor Lee can never escape TNA. It's always in the hashtag on the screen following him. Yeah, I really enjoyed Grimes in this match. I thought this was one of his better NXT performances. I thought he was really, really good here as the guy desperately trying to take down Keith Lee and kind of stick and move and not get caught by the big guy, and eventually get caught by the big guy and get beaten. It was a nice little TV title defense for Keith Lee. After the match, Damian Priest jumped Keith Lee from behind with a nightstick. Keith Lee, I think the idea of this angle is Keith Lee didn't see who attacked him. So when Damian Priest jumps Keith Lee, then Dijakovic comes out, runs off Damian Priest, then Keith Lee lays out Dijakovic. The idea, I think, was that Lee thought it was Dijakovic that attacked him, so he laid out Dijakovic. But it just felt like not quite a heel turn, because the announcers didn't play it up as a heel turn. But like, oh, I think only Beth explained that, oh wait, did he not realize who actually attacked him? Instead of, you know, leaving some ambiguity there about whether or not Keith Lee just randomly attacks Dijakovic for no reason. But this also leads into one of my major problems with this show. A problem I will have at this show until the end of time, because it keeps being a problem. Like, Grimes beat Dijakovic 2 weeks ago, Lee beat Grimes this week, then Priest beats down Lee, and then Lee beats up Dijakovic some more, and like, this is all going to probably lead to Lee beating Priest, and then probably back to Dijakovic and Lee. There's truly no way of knowing. But at every step of that, somebody looks like a nerd. So Grimes beat Dijakovic, so Dijakovic lost. Lee beats Grimes, so Grimes lost. Priest beats down Lee, so Lee looks like a nerd. He just won his match, but he got beat up, so he's a dope. And then, just to, you know, cherry on top, kick dirt in the eyes of Dijakovic, he's beaten up at the end of the segment as well. Who's meant to get over here? At what stage is, like, anybody supposed to gain any amount of momentum on this television show if they're only pushed for 2 weeks at a time? Not even 2 weeks. They're only pushed for a week at a time until their purpose has been served, and then they disappear back into the NXT midcard until they pop up again. Like, Mercedes Martinez was announced for a match next week on NXT, and I'm like, oh yeah, she's on this show because she disappeared. And the second match in the show had the exact same problem. Mia Yim defeated Dakota Kai to gain a spot in the ladder match over WrestleMania weekend. And I'm just like, what? So Dakota Kai won the cage match last week. She defeated Tegan Nox. Then she wrestles Mia Yim this week and loses. So you have her win the feud with Tegan Nox and then immediately have her lose to Mia Yim. But then Mia Yim doesn't even gain anything out of it because Mia Yim is immediately attacked by Raquel Gonzalez and laid out. So I'm like, who here is meant to get over? Nox lost, Kai lost, Yim won, but then Yim got beaten up. So Raquel Gonzalez, I guess, is the only one that's meant to get over here. The one person who's not in any of these wrestling matches. And this is such a problem with the show that you watch these people have matches. And like Kushida, these are all leading into points. So Kushida wrestles Raul Mendoza. But Kushida, we last saw him losing to Adam Cole. He had the mini feud with Cameron Grimes over the hat, which I'm pretty sure he won, maybe. But then before that, he lost to Walter. So Kushida here will win against Raul Mendoza. But for what? What's he being built up for? It's so frustrating to watch the show every single week. And there's very little like week-to-week connectivity to pushes. No one is pushed for more than a week at a time. I don't understand it. They write these shows so that Lee loses every so often and Grimes loses every so often and Dijakovic loses every so often and Dakota Kai has the big feud-defining win but then immediately loses the following week and then Tegan Nox has the big feud-defining loss and immediately wins the following week. It's like no one has sustained momentum. Chelsea Green loses her debut to Caden Carter but then wins her way into the ladder match and it all just blends into all these people being stuck in an NXT mid-card going nowhere. It's so WWE. And this is meant to be the good show. This is meant to be the different show. The show that's better. The show, the good WWE show. The work rate show. The indie show. The super PWG show. And it has all the exact same storytelling faults that they can't push any of these people for longer than 2 weeks. Because I really enjoyed Kushida and Raul Mendoza. It was basically a squash, but it was a really good squash, and a squash that reminded you, oh geez, Kushida, he's a real great wrestler, isn't he? He's probably one of the best wrestlers in this company right now, but he's never doing anything on NXT. Why? And he beat Raul Mendoza here, who we'll talk about more in a second, but he's not going to go anywhere. And nobody goes anywhere. Nobody like builds up any momentum. It's so frustrating to watch. It's just so deeply frustrating to invest like anything in their storytelling because their storytelling usually like disappears within a week. But Kushida's great. That's the moral of the story there is Kushida's phenomenal. He really should be doing more on this television show. There's another one of those videos that's probably cut across. They interviewed Tyler Breeze backstage and guess what? He was talking, waiting to be interrupted by Austin Theory, who said he watched Tyler Breeze in NXT when he was in high school. And I'm like, that was only like a few years ago. I think that's kind of like burying yourself more than it's burying Tyler Breeze. Tyler Breeze is, it's not like Tyler Breeze is Goldberg from the 90s. And you're like, oh, all the way back then, you old man. It's like, oh, look at you all the way back in 2014. All right. Cool. Breeze took a picture of him and then he said he looked good for a flash in the pan and probably the highlight of all of NXT. You could audibly hear somebody in the crowd saying, got him. And that person, give them a medal. Give them some kind of award because they deserve it. Because he was in fact gotten. Rhea Ripley comes out and she's talking. What's she talking about? Who could possibly know? Because she's waiting to be interrupted by Charlotte. Charlotte comes out with a crowd chant, you don't go here. To which she responds, she made here. Which is a great line. And then she immediately goes into her scripted drivel that no one could possibly care about. And makes me think, oh god, what if she actually improvised these promos and actually engaged with the material and the person instead of just spouting whatever was putting on the script for her for NXT. Because yeah, this is a great line. You don't go here. Yeah, I made here. Burn, dumb crowd. Charlotte is she is legitimately one of the NXT icons. She did, in fact, she's a pillar of the brand. So she can say that with credibility and puts the crowd in her place. And yeah, more like just let these people be themselves for the love of God. Do we have to force them to be some kind of bizarre character saying scripted lines? Because that's the problem with Rhea Ripley in this feud. That she's like, gee golly, the grandeur and spectacle of WrestleMania is so much. And then Charlotte's like, oh, you won't be able to handle the grandeur and spectacle of WrestleMania. WrestleMania. Look at all these seats. These are small seats. It's going to be big seats. I didn't even talk about it. This show was in the WWE Performance Center. I forgot about that, which was very strange because it was basically a scale replica of NXT at Full Sail. It looked exactly the same, which is very strange that it's just smaller. It's just a smaller version of NXT at Full Sail that they built within the Performance Center. It's very strange to see that, but alas, I'm so confused as to why they didn't do NXT on the road for a week, because this is the perfect opportunity for them to go, we can test this in a market that we think will do well, and if it does well, we can test it further, and if it does very badly, we can say, oh, it was only a one-week deal because Full Sail wasn't available. I have no idea why they didn't do it. They just wasted an opportunity to like freely test market NXT on the road without having to actually commit to it and having a built-in excuse if they don't want to commit to it, but they decided not to. They aired it from the Performance Center instead, which it looked like NXT. It looked the exact same. But yeah, this feud between Charlotte and Rhea Ripley is dumb, because it's like, you can't cut it in the big leagues. The WrestleMania big, you small. And Rhea Ripley's not a badass anymore. She's like, oh, my dreams. And she's like the generic WWE babyface who has no personality and no thoughts of their own. And it's only like, I'm a nice person and this is the brand. And that's the extent of her character. Instead of like, up until the title win, she was just this badass who beat everybody. And now she's generic WWE babyface. They've let Rhea Ripley down since she's won that title. But Rhea Ripley and Charlotte, I think it does feel like less of a big match than it did when the match was being made. So I think that's less than ideal. Mia Yim was being interviewed backstage. Guess what? She was interviewed waiting to be interrupted. This interruption was quite unique. Well, not unique in a way, but Raul Mendoza was kidnapped, thrown in the back of a van, or I guess a car, by two masked men, reminiscent of Samoa Joe in 2010. If you remember, Samoa Joe was kidnapped on Impact once, and that went nowhere. But like, Raul Mendoza was kidnapped on this show. He was abducted by two men throwing him into a car against his will. And like, the show just continued for like, I don't know, like 40 minutes. It's so bizarre, like within the context of the world of NXT, that a man was kidnapped, and they were like, and now on to Tegan Nox against Deonna Purrazzo for the qualifying match. And we're going to continue business as usual. We're not going to update you on why this man was kidnapped. We're not going to be like, oh, hey, maybe we should do something about this man being kidnapped. Like, if you're going to do a kidnapping angle, if you're going to have a character on this wrestling show be kidnapped, do it at the very end. So at the very least, you can go off the air being like, he's kidnapped. What kind of like company? Imagine if you went into work and you're there for a few hours, an hour and a half, and then somebody gets kidnapped. And then you're like, all right, guys, just continue working. That's not how it would work. Come on. No investigations. Nobody being questioned. Like, oh, well, Raul's gone. On with the show. It's very WWE. But yeah, Raul Mendoza kidnapped. Who could possibly say by whom or why? Is it the same people who kidnapped Samoa Joe? Is this a 10-year storyline? I hope so. I hope Samoa Joe kidnapped him. It's revenge. He's like, the kidnappee has become the kidnapper. Tegan Nox defeated Deonna Purrazzo very quickly to earn a spot in the number one contenders ladder match at TakeOver before WrestleMania TakeOver Tampa. The match was a very quick match. Deonna didn't get much in. Tegan won pretty comprehensively. So the person who lost the cage match feud is in the ladder match, and the person who won the cage match feud is now not in the ladder match. Because, sure, people are pushed for a week. Undisputed Era came out. Dream interrupted him. He talked for a while. He wants Adam Cole, basically. And Cole will have a celebration next week. The Broserweights took on the Undisputed Era in a really good, not great, tag team title match. There was a lot of shenanigans and interference from both the Undisputed Era and then eventually the Grizzly Young Veterans before the Broserweights eventually just retained the belts. This wasn't the takeover match. The takeover match was better. Even if that takeover match left me a little numb, it was still better than this. And yeah, it wasn't even like a TV version. Like, it's a pretty good, it's the most forgettable good match you'll see in a while. As the Broserweights retain, I assume that it felt like they were setting up triple threats last week. Maybe they'll pivot just to straight Broserweights against Grizzly Young Vets. We'll find out coming probably in the next couple of weeks. Next week on NXT, Adam Cole will hold a championship celebration while Mercedes Martinez will face Candice LeRae in a qualifying match for the Tampa ladder match. And we had our main event segment. Tommaso Ciampa came out. What was he talking about? No possible way of knowing, because he was waiting for Johnny Gargano to interrupt him. Like, it's gone beyond a satire at the stage, is that literally nobody talks to say anything on the show. They always talk just waiting to be interrupted. It happened 4 times on the show that people were doing a promo just waiting to be interrupted by something or somebody else, either a kidnapping or Johnny Gargano sitting in a conference room. Gargano was backstage talking shite. Ciampa went and found him. They had this big brawl all over the performance center. It was a fun little brawl, maybe a tad long, but it was still a real fun brawl where they trashed the performance center. So I'm bored with that. And eventually Ciampa hit the air raid crash off the perch through the announce table as the show went off the air. And good closing segment. As I said, maybe a tad long. But seeing people just breaking mirrors and throwing each other through glass doors, it's dullery. Like, it's, you know, WrestleMania 17, Big Show, Kane and Raven. It's basically that, but that's fun, and I'll always be on board with that. And even if Ciampa and Gargano's a dumb feud that makes no sense, at least have them throw bins at each other and brawl through crowds, which maybe you shouldn't do crowd brawls in an era of coronavirus, but, you know, that's probably neither here nor there. So yeah, that's WNXT. As I haven't thought enough about which show I preferred. I think it's probably, NXT wasn't terrible this week, even if it had a bunch of little niggling things that really annoyed me. So yeah, I'm probably going to go AEW, because AEW had better wrestling. But yeah, it's AEW, now that I think about it further. AEW had better wrestling and better storytelling. So NXT wasn't awful, but it's also not really worth watching. Best match is the main event, and the main event wasn't particularly anything special. Match of the week, I would probably say, is the Death Triangle against Private Party and Joey Janela match. Yeah, let's go that one. That's a good match. To the fan poll, by the way. You voted 83% AEW, 17% NXT with 90 votes. I'm sure Liam will probably watch these episodes of NXT. I told him, Liam, you still have to keep up with NXT. And he was like, really? And I'm like, yes. You want to come back and do the podcast, don't you? I hope he wants to come back and do the podcast. I'll be sad if he doesn't want to come back and do the podcast, because then I'll have to either find a full-time replacement, or you'll have to put up with this every week. Just me. And no one wants just me. As I said, I don't want just me. So I can't possibly expect somebody else to want just me. Though it does make sense that this is about half an hour, and usually the podcast is about an hour, so literally just subtract Liam's takes, and it cuts the runtime in half. So that makes sense. You can follow me on Twitter at GaryKidney, GaurettKidney. You can follow Liam on Twitter at Larrikin, LARIKN, when he eventually returns. I'm sure he'll appreciate me plugging his Twitter. You know, you can still follow Rob on Twitter at TheOrDouble or at BritResRoundtable. I don't know what the BritRes one is. You'll find it. And you can follow the podcast on Twitter at WarGamesPod. If you would like more Elite and AEW coverage in your feed, there's Everything Elite sitting there waiting for you, talking all about, I'm sure, Dark and other things. Does anybody talk about Dark? I didn't watch Dark this week. It looked kind of grim. It looked a little dark. Jokes. And if you want more WWE coverage, there is Shake Them Ropes. Hopefully Liam will be back next week. Fingers crossed that he is no longer homeless. We can do a the priority is the podcast, not the homelessness, of course. Thanks for listening, and bye-bye.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.